WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The publication of a new volume of poetry isn't usually considered news, but a few weeks ago, the New York Times ran a front-page story about British poet laureate Ted Hughes's new volume, Birthday Letters. Book critic Maureen Corrigan tells us why these poems deserve to make headlines.
In life, you've got to choose sides. You can't root for both Clinton and Starr, Duke and North Carolina, Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes. The bitterly opposing Plath-Hughes camps rallied immediately after Plath's suicide in February of 1963. Plath partisans see her as the fiery but fragile genius who was driven to take her own life when the awful Hughes deserted her for another woman. Hughes's defenders, a much smaller band, regard him as a casualty of Plath's emotional instability. A stoic gentleman who's been buried alive next to his vengeful wife for the past 35 years. Time has not been on Hughes's side. As he's stiffened into Britain's craggy poet laureate, Plath remains young and smiling, ever the blonde American innocent, a gifted gidget destined to fall victim to corrupt European sensibilities. Hughes's resolute silence about Plath hasn't helped his cause either. Except for a few letters to the press and introductions to his wife's posthumously published work, he's remained mum on the subject of Sylvia. In a 1989 letter to one of Plath's biographers, Hughes explained his decision to keep silent. "I preferred it on the whole," he writes, "to allowing myself to be dragged out into the bullring and teased and pricked and goaded into vomiting up every detail of my life with Sylvia for the higher entertainment of 100,000 English lit profs. But now, to the astonishment of the literati on both sides of the Atlantic, Hughes has just published a volume of 88 poems entitled Birthday Letters, which chronicles the course of his intimate relationship with Plath from their meeting in Cambridge, England in 1956 to his mandatory attendance at her decades-long wake. Almost all are narrative poems directly addressed to Plath, some responding to her greatest poems, like Daddy. Hughes has been secretly writing these poems for years, and even if they were nothing more than jingles, they'd be big news. But they're marvelous, baffled and angry, vivid and raw. Some poets create their subjects. Others have their subjects thrust upon them. In Birthday Letters, Hughes finally has bowed to his fate. The introductory poem, Fulbright Scholars, depicts the young Hughes staring at a newspaper photo of Plath, whom he hasn't yet met. As he stares, he munches on a peach, the first fresh peach this Brit, raised on war rations, has ever tasted. Hughes writes, "At 25, I was dumbfounded afresh by my ignorance of the simplest things." That's pretty much Hughes's persona throughout this volume. Confounded by Plath's sophisticated demons, he's just a regular Yorkshire lad struggling to make things right. A few years into their marriage, the unwitting Hughes makes Plath a writing table out of an elm plank. "I revealed a perfect landing pad for your inspiration," he writes in the poem, The Table. "I did not know I had made and fitted a door opening downwards into your daddy's grave." Those lines hint at Hughes's overarching argument in Birthday Letters. That is, that before he left Plath for another woman, she left him for her dead father, Otto, the man Hughes believes she felt compelled to join through suicide. Well, after enduring decades of blame for Plath's death, maybe Hughes is entitled to mount a self-serving defense. What's of even greater interest here, though, are his declarations of abiding love for Plath and his fierce sense of protectiveness towards her. In The Literary Life, perhaps the most extraordinary poem in this volume, Hughes remembers Plath's despair when the American poet Marianne Moore dismissed some of her early work. After Plath's death, Hughes once again meets Moore, who now daintily praises Plath's posthumous poetry. "And I listened," Hughes writes, "heavy as a graveyard, while she searched for the grave where she could lay down her little wreath." All those years of living in the shadow of Lady Lazarus clearly have taught the once taciturn Hughes a thing or two about the pleasures of giving way to fury.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.